Hello and welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor here at Fraser Church. This week we have a special guest joining us for our devotions. Dr. Matthew Sleaf left his work as a physician to teach and write about faith and health. He's written several books including Reforcing Faith and Hope Always. Please enjoy today's devotional from Dr. Sleaf.
Today's reading is from the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. We're nearing the end of our journey, so it's time we pulled together what we've learned about trees in Scripture and discuss some practical ways trees can help us love God and to love our neighbors. Psalm 24 clearly states the Bible's property law. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Records filled at the county courthouse may indicate that we possess an acre or even 1,000 acres, but in true biblical terms, we own nothing. Everything we own, including every tree on the earth, does not belong to us. Every leaf on every tree, bush, vine, or shrub belongs to God, its creator. As the Bible says, we are but sojourners on this earth, and we are tasked with passing it on to the next tenants, our children and our children's children, in as good of condition or better condition than we found it in. One of the simplest ways we can pass along God's good earth in better condition than we received it is to plant trees. By planting and caring for trees, we show our loving respect for their rightful owner, the Almighty Lord. The second half of the Great Commandment is to love one's neighbor. How do trees help us love our neighbor? Let's say, for example, that a church or a group of churches decides to partner with residents of a poorer neighborhood to plant trees along the area's streets. And let's assume that the motivation for planting trees is the second half of the Great Commandment, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now let's count the ways the simple act of planting trees help us express our love for others. Planting trees will produce loving fruit by providing shade, creating beauty, lowering energy costs, ensuring better water quality, increasing property values, reducing crime rates, producing cleaner air. Imagine if we also planted shade trees around playgrounds, planted fruit orchards and urban empty lots, or place benches under peaceful groves on our church grounds where anyone would be welcome. The fruit of such practical hands-on love could be harvested for generations to come. I was once asked on a radio show what I wanted to hear when I got to heaven. I didn't even have to think for a second. "You're in" is all I need to hear. Like others, I wonder what heaven will be like. On the earth, most people place their best chair or couch facing a television. In heaven, God's throne faces a tree. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And this is from Revelation 22. I want to get to heaven to see God. I want to meet the saints, and I want to eat the fruit of heaven. I grew up on a farm that had a backyard with peach, pear, and apple trees planted around it. But the best fruit tree of all was the hardest to get to. It was an apple tree that sat in a corner of the field just outside the barnyard. Inside the barnyard, next to the tree, was a large manure pile. The apple tree was in the corner of a field where a tractor couldn't plow, so the rocks had been pushed up in the corner and briars had grown up all around the tree. Jesus described the path to heaven as a narrow road, but I think of the way being like the apple tree in that corner. The best way to get access was to grab onto the fence before you reached the manure pile, and then crab walk sideways along the fence until you reached the tree. Then you'd go up over the fence, avoiding the strand of barbed wire at the top. After all that, you could climb into the big apple tree, and the apples were yellow and indescribably sweet. You may have to climb sideways along a fence over a huge pile of manure. You may have to climb over sharp wire or pick your way through briars. You will certainly have to walk through a wooden doorway covered in lamb's blood in the shape of a cross, but your goal should be an orchard in heaven. Trees are the only thing from our childhood that are bigger when we go back and visit them as adults. Our faith should be like that. The Bible doesn't tell us to be like a house or a chariot or a lion. It tells us to be like a fruitful tree, grow, make the world better, and bear fruit. Here's some questions to consider. Paul's letters are filled with famous tree references. Find a reference to tree grafting or the fruit of the Spirit. For example, you could look at Romans 11, verses 17 through 18, or Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. What do Paul's tree references in the epistles teach us about loving God and loving our neighbors? The Lord's Prayer tells us, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." How does planting trees make earth more like heaven? Well, I want to thank you for walking with me along this trail of trees in Scripture. I hope these devotionals have encouraged you to read the Bible with fresh eyes. And this weekend, I look forward to talking with you more about Jesus, the tree of life.